Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. How many of you have ever heard the statement, when it rains, it pours? When it rains, it pours. How many felt you've ever lived that statement, when it rains, it pours? Things go from bad to worse. I was thinking, as I was preparing the sermon, I like to start with kind of a story to illustrate what I'm trying to say. And I thought, man, has there been a time? I know there's been a time when I have felt this, you know, going from bad to worse. And I was like, man, and I couldn't really think off the top of my head. And I said, Lord, you got to give me something. Well, the Lord gave me this story. I warned my wife I was going to tell it. Okay. Praise God. We're married. We got four beautiful children, but we've known each other since we were 10 years old. And there were times that Marissa broke up with me, broke my heart. And there were times that I broke up with her on our journey to where we are today when we were teenagers and kids. And I remembered a specific instance of when she broke up with me. And I thought, that's what I'm going to share. So my wife and I grew up in youth group together, in church together. Thankfully, I impressed her father at a young age by just being a loud and crazy teenage preacher boy. Ah, praise the Lord. And he thought I was the best. And I had a crush on her since I was like 10. And when I was probably 14, 15, I preached in front of her father, my father-in-law. And me and Marissa, I don't even think we're dating yet. I just had a crush. And he went home and told his wife, he said, you know, I wish that boy, Don, would take an interest in my daughter. She goes, he's had a crush on her for like 5 years, Fred. Come on. So we dated on and off. Well, Marissa went to college pretty early as a young person. Just when she was 17, she went to Bible college in Connecticut. And we drove her up to college. And when she was at Bible college, we had some distance. I was still in high school. And I remember her calling me one day, and she was brokenhearted about this. But there was just a lot going on. We were a very emotional teenager, just like every teenager. And she said, I just feel like I need to maybe take a break or break up with you right now while I'm here. And I was just devastated. In fact, I was probably a jerk to her about it because it was very unexpected. Come on. Everybody say, aw. Thank you. Gosh, I shouldn't have to tell you to do that. I just talk about being responsive. Come on. You've seen enough sitcoms before. So she broke up with me and I was devastated. Thank you. Thank you, whoever did that. So, bad. Here we are, bad. Like my the love of my life, okay, has broken my heart. Has left me out to dry, and I gotta go to history class now. It's terrible. And then I have a dentist appointment that same week. So I'm devastated. I'm brokenhearted. I'm heartbroken. And thank you. Okay, that's enough. We're good. We got it. So I go to the dentist, and it's a wisdom teeth appointment. Okay, how many have had your wisdom teeth taken out? No fun. No good. How many do we normally have? I have five. I had five. Yeah, oh, wow. And guess what? All five have to get taken out. A lot of wisdom, baby. That's what I said. I'm a smart guy. And I had five wisdom teeth. And they said, well, we can do them all now. I don't know if that was legal back then to do all five now. My mom was like, sure, let's take care of it all right now. So here I am now in the dentist chair. My girlfriend has broken up with me. She's at college, surrounded by a bunch of hot college guys, and I can't even stop. I'm just like, I'm having a hard time here. And I'm back in the dentist chair, and they give me the Novocaine, the shot, ding, 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 ding. And then they didn't wait till it was set. Yeah. So the dentist takes his pliers out, goes to pull, and I said, I don't think it's ready yet. He thinks it is. So he pulls. I about jump out of my chair, and I'm like, yeah, this is, and I'm like, why am I being punished, Lord? Why me, God? So then I get five wisdom teeth taken out. I'm surrounded by gauze. I'm going home. My mom says, I need you to take your sister to a concert. It's at Six Flags, New England, there in Agawam. And Raven Simone. That's so Raven. How many knows that? Yeah, great show. Not the best singer, okay? Live, at least. So now I got to bring my sister and her dumb friend, okay, to Six Flags, New England. John's laughing at me. It's not that funny, okay? And I got to bring my sister fresh off the dentist chair to hear Raven Simone at Six Flags outside in the rain. And I'll never forget. I'm saying that my sister was extremely short. She was very young. I'm a nice enough brother. I have her on my shoulder. She's sitting on my shoulders. Raven's cackling in the on the stage. God bless her. And I'm sitting there in pain. It's raining out. And I said, this stinks, man. That's my when it rains, it pours story, okay? Now, that was teenage life. I understand as you get to an adult, it feels even heavier. Psalm 25:17 says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Habakkuk 3:17 says this. This is the prophet saying this. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Not good here for God's people in the book of Habakkuk. We'll revisit that at the end. And as we saw last week, for Joseph, man, he is living out this phrase right now. When it rains, it pours. He's just a young 17-year-old kid. His father loves him. Unfortunately, he decides to tell all the brothers that he's the favorite. But Joseph didn't do anything wrong in that aspect. He's got a nice jacket. His brothers hate him. They throw him in a pit. They pull him out. He's being sold into slavery. Now he's on the long path to Egypt as a slave. Going from the favorite son, beloved, now a slave on his way to Egypt, a terrible place for Israelites. But just like life, sometimes the way we live, the things we face, doesn't it feel like a roller coaster? We have high ups and really low downs. It's up and down and up and down. And we'll see that in Joseph's life right now. Let's look at the story. Some of you never heard the full story of Joseph. We're going to go through the verses just like we did last week and then get some application and find Jesus in it and be done today. Genesis 39. If you have your Bible, get there. If you don't, there should be Bibles in the seats in front of you. We have some scattered out. Genesis 39, 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So now Joseph has a job. He is bought by a Potiphar, one of the captains, the officers of Pharaoh. So he's high up authority. But look at verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. God was with him. God was taking care of Joseph. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he put in his hand. So God's with Joseph. Potiphar, this lost Egyptian, notices that, man, whoever he believes in is with him. Everything he touches turns to gold. And he made Joseph, who was a slave, now Joseph's in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. And the scriptures go on to say that Potiphar's land and flocks and everything that Potiphar had was blessed because of Joseph. So Potiphar's like very moved by this. Verse number 5, he makes him overseer over all that he hath, and the Lord blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake, everything that he had. Verse number 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he needed. So what that scripture is saying is, Joseph was in charge of everything. So much so that Potiphar didn't have to worry about anything. He didn't even think about anything. Only thing he worried about was, what am I going to eat tonight? That was it. Joseph took care of everything and God blessed him. And it says Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Meaning Joseph was a good looking young man. A well built, good and good looking young man. Much like myself. No amens there, okay? Thank you, Laverne. She's like a mom to me. I love it. But here's where it gets a little spicy, unfortunately, okay? And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, okay? No name given. Cast her eyes upon Joseph. She looked at Joseph lustfully. That boy looked good, okay? And she says, hey, come here, big boy. I mean, she did not hesitate. She did not beat around the bush. She said, we need to go into the bedroom. Very clear. And Joseph, a good man, a man who feared God and loved God, says in verse 8, he refused. Didn't have to think about it. Now, we're not saying he wasn't tempted. Obviously, he is faced with temptation. What does he do with it? He refuses. He says, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. Like, as in, like, he lets me take care of everything. He doesn't know what's going on. He'th committed all that he hath to my hand. He said, I'm in charge of everything of your husband. Verse 9, there is none greater in this house than I. He says, I'm the head honcho here in this house. He's talking to Potiphar's wife, who is making an advance to him. He says, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. He says, everything that Potiphar has, I'm in charge of. I have access to, except for you. You know why? Because you're his wife. He's married to you. And he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? A wonderful heart of righteousness in Joseph here. He says, I'm not doing this. You're crazy. And look what it says in verse 10. And he didn't just say that and then just not make any adjustments. We're going to get to that. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. She would not leave him alone. Day after day after day after day after day, she kept making advances on him, and every time he was like, I'm not doing it. And what the scripture is saying is, not only did he say no, he started trying to avoid her at all costs, which is a wonderful principle to live by. If you are struggling with temptation or addiction, just stay away from it. And he's like, I don't even want to be around her right now. Verse number 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, to do his job, to do his work that he did every day. And there was none of the men of the house there within. So now it's just Joseph in the house. And verse number 12, in Potiphar's wife, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. She got extra aggressive here, grabbed his shirt, grabbed his cloak, and said, come, we're doing this, pretty much. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. He's ripped away, ran out the house, so much so that his jacket, his cloak was left in her hand. Verse number 13. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth and he ran out. Look what she does. She called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew, Joseph, unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment and with me and fled and got him out. She lies about Joseph. She calls all the men in. Once Joseph, I was like, leave me alone and leave. She says, fine then. Calls all the other guys and says, he tried to come on to me. And I screamed, and he left and left his jacket. And look, Potiphar, my husband, brought in this Hebrew, this Israelite, to mock us, to make a fool out of us. That's a strong accusation. Verse 16, she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. So she holds on to that. I'm gonna get Joseph in big trouble. And unfortunately, she does. Verse 17, she spake unto him, Potiphar, according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. He came on to me. Verse 18. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. He was upset. Potiphar was angry. I have heard preachers go back and forth saying that he didn't believe his wife, so his anger was that he had to punish Joseph. I don't think the scriptures are clear on that at all. I think he just believed his wife and said, I can't believe Joseph would do this. He's mad because look what he does. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Bad to worse. Not only was Joseph, listen, yes, it's a roller coaster. He's thrown in the pit, sold into slavery. Now he's a slave, but he does so well. Now he's in charge of the house, but now he's been lied about and falsely accused, and now he's in prison. Based on false accusations. But verse 21 says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Now Joseph is in the prison, and not long after, the prison warden sees that God's with him, and now Joseph's in charge of all the other prisoners as a prisoner. And whatsoever he did there, they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So we see Joseph, again and again, faced with difficulty and challenge and trial, out of his control, and God is with him. So what do we learn from Joseph in chapter 39? This guy's life is crazy, isn't it? It'd make a great movie. It'd make a great soap opera. It'd make a great show, because it's just up and down and back and forth. Even just in chapter 39, all that happens. He's a slave. He's in charge. He's arrested. He's in charge of the prison. But God is with him. What do we learn from Joseph? And where do we see Jesus in the life of Joseph in this picture of Christ? Couple thoughts, and we'll be through. Verse 2 of chapter 39, Joseph is sold as a slave to Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And verse 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Can I tell you something this morning? Can I help you with something this morning? Somebody needs to hear this. On our worst days, we must remember that God is with us and God is for us. Joseph went from the dirty pit to the lonely path of slavery to Egypt, to the house of Potiphar, now as a slave. And on that journey from bad to worse, God was with Joseph. And that showed in Joseph's success and in his choices and in his blessings. We see Joseph's heart in the story. He's just going to work hard and do his best and make the best out of where he is, because he knows that God is with him and God is worthy to be trusted. So he's just going to live his life like he always does, no matter where he is. Listen, your attitude toward God determines your perspective of your situation. I'm going to say that again. Mark it down. Write it down. Listen, your attitude towards God, how you feel about God, your attitude towards God determines your perspective of your situation. If you don't trust God's hand, if you don't live a life that is trusting God's hand, then this is just hell. Everything is just the worst. This is awful. If you don't trust God's heart, your heart will be, I can't make it. Why is this happening to me? Why would you do this to me? Your attitude, your heart towards God determines how you view your life and situations. But when you make the choice, listen, when you make the choice to trust God fully, you start to see things differently and you start to act differently. Joseph had gone from bad to worse, from the pit to the path, now in the palace as a slave, and yet he knew God was with him, and he prospered in all that he did because God was with him. Instead of seeing a trial, when you trust God fully, instead of seeing a trial, you experience triumph. Instead of sighs of anxiety, you shout for joy, because your attitude towards God is an attitude and a heart of faith and trust. Instead of giving up, you choose to go on. Even in the face of trial, James 1:2, the New Testament says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. What does that mean, Pastor? It means when you face trials of different kinds, diverse temptations means different kinds of trials. When you face trials, count it all joy. Rejoice. Why? Because the scripture says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And patience will have its perfect work and make you whole. Count it all joy. In his faith, in Joseph's faith and trust in his God, experiencing the presence of God and God's blessings, even in Potiphar's house, guess what happened when he decided to live that life? A lost world took notice. Joseph was just doing what he normally would do. He wasn't doing anything different. No, he just believed in God and lived like it. And what happened? Verse 3. And his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house, Potiphar's house, for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Never forget this, church. Listen, when you choose to take a stand for God, a lost world takes notice. When you choose to take a stand for God, a lost world takes notice. Sometimes positively, as we see with Potiphar, said, man, God is with him. I'm going to make him in charge of everything. And sometimes negatively. Because guess what? Joseph took a stand for right and a stand for God and for righteousness with Potiphar's wife, and it cost him, didn't it? No matter if it's a positive reaction or response or a negative response, it still doesn't change our calling to Christ. We are not led by the opinions or desires of anyone but God. I don't care what society says. I don't care what culture screams. I don't care what politicians or celebrities or the school systems or TV preachers say. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I will be led by God and God alone, church. God and God alone. He sets my path. Yes. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He drives my decisions. He should be driving your decisions. He must have the preeminence, only Jesus, that in all things he might have the preeminence, first place, first priority, supremacy. And that was Joseph's heart. We see it in verse 9. When Potiphar's wife makes this sexual advance towards him. And Joseph says, no. But he doesn't just say, no, I don't want to lose my job. No, I don't want to have that reputation. Or no, you know, I don't want to get caught. That was not his reason for not doing this. He could have got away with this. What does it say in verse 9? What was his reason for saying no to this authority figure, really? Someone who had a lot of money and say. He says in verse 9, thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Wow. It was not about the job. It was not about the clout. Hey, Joseph had a high position of authority as a slave. He probably had it better off than any of the other servants in the house. But it wasn't about, I don't want to lose this gig I got here. No, he says, no, I honor God. This would be a sin against God. And God's carried me this far. I won't sin against God. Remember this. In the heat of temptation, which every one of us will face in different ways. In the heat of temptation, remember God. Amen. Write that down, because you'll face it. In the heat of temptation, remember God. Joseph said, in the heat of temptation, I can't sin against God. Listen, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. When I was coming through my recovery from addictions, I remember my counselor saying, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And I've shared that same truth with others. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Yes, I know our flesh wants to, but if in your heart of hearts you're like, I want to be done with this addiction or fill in the blank, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. In the heat of temptation, remember God. A heart for God seeks to please Him. Verse 10, it came to pass, she spake to Joseph day by day. He hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Listen, sometimes it seems more than you can bear, and the temptation is so strong, and the weight is so strong. But stay strong in Christ and continue to say no to that and yes to God. And when you begin to think, listen, when you begin to think that you're the only one that struggles with temptation, you're the only one that struggles with fighting this battle of tension in your heart and life as a Christian. Remember, it was Jesus, the Son of God, who was God, that was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, being tempted by the devil himself. And he said no. He didn't take any of the devil's fault, pray to any of the devil's traps. Christ is our example. And guess what? The Spirit of God lives in you, child of God. Remember that you are not alone in this. God is with you. God gives you the power to say no to that and yes to Him. And that's the life Joseph lived. Sometimes, though, doing the right thing. Sometimes doing the right thing comes at a cost. Christ went to the cross an innocent man. He didn't do anything wrong. Joseph went to jail an innocent man. Lied. Both of them, Jesus and Joseph, lied about and condemned and falsely accused Jesus and Joseph. Again, all part of God's plan. For Jesus, yes, and for Joseph. Listen, doing right always trumps convenience. Doing right is always more important than what is easiest to do, what is most comfortable to do. Doing right always trumps convenience. Doing right always brings the blessing of God, just not always how we expect it. Joseph was just doing the right thing by saying, no, no, I'm not doing that, Potiphar's wife. I'm not sinning against God. That was the right choice. Joseph was not going to let some wicked woman decide his future or mess up God's calling on his life. He just wasn't going to do it. He was not going to let someone who didn't even believe in his God determine what goes on in his life, no matter who she was, no matter what standing she had. He said, no, I'm not doing it. I will be led by God, even when it would cost him. And guess what? Joseph probably could have gotten away with it. There was no one in the house. And guess what? Potiphar's wife, if someone did catch them, she probably would have said, if you tell anybody, I'm going to kill you. Joseph could have gotten away with it, but he chose right. And what happened? Verse 21. He's lied about. Potiphar makes up this story. It's believed. In verse 20, Joseph's master took him, put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. From the pit to the path to the palace and now to the prison. This is probably worse than the pit. The prison. What happened to Joseph? Verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the prison keeper. I want to challenge you this morning to choose the presence of God over the temporary pleasures of me first living. I'm sure that Potiphar's wife was a beautiful woman. I don't think it was just, she was just some old hag, that it was an easy, no. I think that the scriptures are pretty clear that probably any other servant would have said, okay. Joseph said no. And it landed him in the prison. But guess what? God was in the prison with Joseph. Yeah. Listen, I'd rather be in the prison if that's where God is. Joseph said, I don't care what seems easier. I'm going to honor God, and it landed him in jail. But I'd rather be in the prison if that's where the presence of God is, instead of living for me first. Aren't you glad that you have a God who doesn't leave you alone even when you're cursed for doing the right thing? Aren't you glad that you have a God that doesn't forget you? Aren't you glad, listen, that you have a God who knows the truth about you when others lie? Aren't you glad for a God that does that for us, church? Hallelujah. And thank God that centuries later, a greater Joseph would stand before a mocking crowd. Jesus, the greater Joseph, lied about, falsely accused, in prison. And that man, Jesus, willingly took upon himself, the scriptures say, the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. He humbled himself even to the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was God, became a prisoner so that we could be free. He died a terrible, bloody death so that we could have abundant life. He rose again. Hallelujah. He rose again so we never have to be hopeless again. Man, I'm glad about it. It's Jesus we serve. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me? Remember Habakkuk? At the beginning, we read one verse in Habakkuk, which is an Old Testament short book, really. A short book in the Old Testament written by the prophet Habakkuk. And it tells about a prophet who is wrestling with why God allows evil and injustice, yet at the same time learning to trust God's sovereign, in control hand and plan, even when he doesn't understand it. Which, by the way, we live in that zone too. Wondering, why is there so much injustice? Why is life not fair? Why is there so much evil in the world? And that's why Habakkuk, the verse we read, by the end of that book, Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. He says, the flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. He goes, everything is falling apart. Everything is gone. Even if there's nothing left, he says here at the end of that book, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Even if everything else collapses, if the crops fail, if the flocks disappear, if outward blessings vanish, Habakkuk says, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. True faith. True faith rejoices in God himself, not just the blessings that he gives. I'm going to say that again. True faith in God, true trust in God, a heart and an attitude that's right. We don't just rejoice in the things God gives us, which, by the way, I'm grateful for, but we rejoice in God himself. Even if everything else falls apart, even if I lose everything, even if I wake up tomorrow with nothing but the clothes on my back, I lost my job, I lost my car, I lost my family, I lost my church, I lost it all. Even if I wake up tomorrow with nothing, I still got Jesus. And that's enough to rejoice, and that's enough to shout, and that's enough to live a life of faith and honor and trust for the rest of my life. In the pit, in the palace, and even in the prison, God was with Joseph. And God is with you now. God is with you now. To live live every day like you really believe that. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.